Bhagavane Vasudevaya Namah Vishvadaya Krishnasai Buddha Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pracharane Naravashesha Shunyavani Vastatade Shatarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Siddhiko Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 3, Verse 19. Yam dharma karmarta vimokta kama bhajanta ishtam gatim apnuvanti kim chasi so rachapi deham avyayam Karo tu me dabra dayo vi mokshanam. Yam, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dharma Kama Arta Vimukta Kama, persons who desire the four principles of religion, economic development, sense gratification, and salvation. Bhajanta, by worshipping, Ishtam, objective, Gatim, destination. Apnuvanti.
Kim.
What to speak of? Sha. Also. Ashisha. Other benedictions. Rati. He bestows. Api. Even. Deham. A body. Avyayam. Spiritual. Karotu. May he bestow benedictions. May unto me. Adrabradaya, Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unlimitedly merciful. Vimokshanam, liberation from the present danger and from the material world. Translation, after worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, those who were interested in the four principles of religion, economic development, sense gratification, liberation, obtain from him what they desire. What then is to be said of other benedictions? Indeed, sometimes the Lord gives a spiritual body to such ambitious worshippers. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unlimitedly merciful, bestow upon me the benediction of liberation from this present danger and from the materialistic way of life. For a part, some men within this material world are akami, free from material desire. Some are ambitious to get more and more material profit. And some desire fulfillment of religious principles, economic development, sense gratification, and finally liberation. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. It is recommended that whatever one's position, whether one demands no material profit, all material profit, or ultimately liberation, one should offer his obedient devotional service to the Lord and will get what he desires. Krishna is so kind. The Lord reciprocates whatever even an ordinary living entity wants, Krishna gives. Krishna is situated in everyone's heart, and he gives that which is desired by the living entity. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridesh arjuna chastati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantarudrani mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, or Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities through his seat as on a machine made of the material energy. The Lord gives everyone an opportunity to fulfill his ambitions. Even such a devotee as Dhruva Maharaj wanted the material benediction of a kingdom greater than that of his father. And although he received a spiritual body, he also got the kingdom, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not disappoint anyone who takes shelter of his lotus feet. Therefore, since Gajendra, king of the elephants, had surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead to get free from the present danger, and indirectly from the present danger of materialistic life, why should the Supreme Personality of Godhead not fulfill his desire? Translation: after worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, those who are interested in the four principles of religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, obtain from him what they desire. What then is to be said of other benedictions? Indeed, sometimes the Lord gives a spiritual body to such ambitious worshippers. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unlimitedly merciful, bestow upon me the benediction of liberation from this present danger and from the materialistic way of life. So, this verse is describing the benedictions that the Lord can bestow. And one gets those benedictions by worship. Of course, some people will worship different devatas to get these benedictions. They may worship Shiva or Durga or Ganesh or someone else for Artha and Dharma and Kama. And even for liberation, they may worship Lord Shiva or whatever. Many people carry out other forms of worship to attain these purusharthas, the common goals for human beings. At the same time, all of these can be attained by worship of one person, Supreme Lord. We don't have to worship many different persons for many different goals. We just worship the Supreme Lord and we can get those things. Right. So that is why it said, sarva kamo va. With all desires, you can worship the Supreme Lord. And you get those desires fulfilled. And if you want liberation, moksha, the Lord can also give that. Devatas, in general, cannot give moksha because they are not liberated. They have material bodies. However, the Supreme Lord is the actual giver of liberation. So one can worship the Supreme Lord to get liberation and achieve it. So that is why it said moksha kama. If you desire liberation, you can worship the Supreme Lord. This is what the yogis do. They will meditate on Paramatma and get liberation as a result. Some gyanis, if they're intelligent, will also worship the Supreme Lord, and they will get moksha. Those who do not worship the Supreme Lord don't get moksha, even if they do perfect jnana, because they offend the Lord. So, ultimately, moksha is dependent on the Supreme Lord. What about Artha, Dharma, and Kama? Can we just worship devatas and get those results? Ultimately, no. Even those results are dependent on the Supreme Lord. So if we offend the Supreme Lord and we worship Shiva or Durga or Ganesh or somebody else, we actually don't get Artha, Dharma, Kama. Also have to worship or respect, at least respect the Supreme Lord, even in that. Why? Because ultimately, whatever the David does give is dependent on the Supreme Lord. If he permits, then the Devatas can do their duties. Huh? So that is represented in the description of the universal form at the beginning of creation. There's a huge body, a Purusha, and on him are the different Devatas who represent the different senses of that body. So we have the eye and the sun Devata and the moon for the mind and Shiva for the Ahankara. And the Aswini Kumars for the nostrils for smelling, and the Dikpalas for the ears, hearing, and Varuna for taste, Agni for the voice, etc. And this way we have different devatas representing different functions and senses of the body. But they can't do anything. So the body is standing there with all the senses, nothing happens. But then Paramatma enters into that. And then that function, senses function. Eh? So the devatas operate because of the Supreme Lord. Similarly, our function, our senses function because ultimately the Supreme Lord. Secondarily, the devatas are in charge of our senses. Ultimately behind that is Supreme Lord. Without that, nothing functions. Eh? So therefore, we cannot independently worship devatas and think we'll get very good results from that. We also have to worship the Supreme Lord. That is the proper method. Nevertheless, some people will ignore the Supreme Lord and just worship these other forms, and they don't get much result from that. We can simply worship the Supreme Lord directly, and we get all of these things also. So that is what is stated in the first part of the verse. Those who worship with a desire for these different things. Yes, they get these. They get their desires fulfilled. The Lord can do that. And it says here, even he can give you an eternal body, deham avyayam, indestructible body. So you can get sarupya, a body in the spiritual world like the Supreme Lord's body. Which means this is higher than artha dharma kama moksha. You get a body in the spiritual world which is eternal. This can be attained in two ways. One is you can't get it by worship of devatas and karma yoga. You cannot get it simply by jnana, sadhana, or liberation. You can get it by mixed bhakti. If you have a desire to enjoy something, plus you also worship the Supreme Lord very nicely, then the Lord gives you a body in the spiritual world. The other way is by pure bhakti. You can also get a spiritual body, but that is not the goal of the devotee. He simply wants to serve the Lord however. So if we worship the Supreme Lord with a desire for a spiritual body, that is a type of mixed bhakti. And we desire that we worship the Lord without any request. That is pure bhakti. So either way, the Lord supplies us a body in the spiritual world. With pure bhakti, he supplies a form suitable for our particular service. So, therefore, through mixed bhakti or pure bhakti, we can get this result, this spiritual body. But not by karma, jnana, or yoga. These are results of the worship. If we simply worship the Lord for material things, of course, we can get those things. This is a type of mixed bhakti. We worship the Lord and get those things. But if we continue that worship, we get even higher. We'll get the body in the spiritual world. Of course, we get purified of our material desires, but we can get that form in the spiritual world. Therefore, it's advisable for anyone who has material desires, or liberation, or the body in the spiritual world. Simply worship the Supreme Lord, and He will give that to you. Yeah. So therefore, this is a result of karma, Mr. Bhakti. Yeah. So, this of course is not the best type of bhakti. However, this is the type of bhakti that Gajendra had. And what he's asking for? Supreme Lord, merciful Supreme Lord, should give me moksha, vimoksha. Which means, one, liberation from his present situation of being bitten by the crocodile. So that is some material desire. Get rid of the pain in the material world. The other is get rid of material existence. That is liberation, moksha. No more birth and death. And then there's the third liberation. That is indicated by vimoksha. V stands for vishesha. Special liberation. What is a special liberation? Spiritual world. So, a devotee can get all of these. He can get freedom from the anxieties of the material world, he can get liberation, and he can get place in the spiritual world. That is with his spiritual body. In this case, however, if he's asking for these things, you get me freedom from danger, liberation, and spiritual body, we have to say that this is mixed bhakti, karma, mixed bhakti. So this is an example of why Gajendra as class is a mixed bhakti, because here's his demand. Let me get this. Let me get this moksha of any of these types. So, the Lord here is addressed as Adabradaya. He has unlimited mercy. So the Lord, by mercy, gives things to the living entity. So the mercy means that He, out of His goodwill and His affection for the devotees, gives things. If one practices karma yoga, jnana yoga, or astanga yoga, the Lord does not show that affection. If you practice mixed bhakti or pure bhakti, the Lord begins to show affection. But He will show more affection for one who practices Suddha Bhakti. So if we want unlimited mercy, then we have to practice that pure bhakti. If we request something else with mixed bhakti, then of course, yes, the Lord can obviously give that, but He doesn't give as much mercy. So how is the unlimited mercy manifested as compared to the limited mercy that He will give to some people like the mixed bhakti bhakta? The difference is that the devotee ultimately gets more bliss in the spiritual world. So those that practice mixed bhakti get limited bliss. The persons who practice pure bhakti get more and more bliss than that. That is the difference. So though the Lord has unlimited mercy, He gives mercy according to the intensity of the bhakti. And so Krishna says, accordingly as you surrender unto me, I respond. So your bhakti is of one intensity, the Lord responds like that, and that's your result. In other words, we get results according to our endeavors in bhakti. The more intense it is, the better results we get. The more bliss we get. So if we do mixed bhakti, there is not so much intensity there because the mixture of our own desires. Therefore, we get one result. We do pure bhakti, more intense, we get higher result. So this illustrates this principle as you surrender unto me, I reward you accordingly. So that's in terms of devotees. And then, of course, in terms of devotees, if you worship the Lord according to one particular rasa, the Lord responds to that rasa. You worship him in Dasya rasa, the Lord responds in that way. You worship in Madhurya rasa, the Lord responds in that way. It's a higher level. It operates also on a lower level, lower than bhakti. As you worship me, I respond to you. If you don't worship me at all, I don't respond to you at all. If you follow the Varnashram system, or you follow Karma Yoga, or Gyan Yoga, or Astanga Yoga, it is within the Vedic principles, which also represent the Lord, but it is indirect. So, in some sense, I respond to that. And you can get some good results from that. So that is better than following no authorized process at all. Then I don't respond at all. According to the process we follow, we get results. No result, a little bit of progress in the material world or liberation, or we get spiritual world with various degrees in the spiritual world. So what this means is, it depends, a lot of this depends on our sadhana. If we choose the wrong sadhana, we get the wrong result. Or we get a different result. So therefore, Rupa Goswami makes it clear that the process for the Vaishnavas is to follow pure bhakti. And then we get recommended result. Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, or Madhurya, ultimately. And we get that type of bliss. So that is the recommended process. As for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, worship Radha and Krishna, and then get Madhurya Rasa. So in pure bhakti, you get the highest of all, that is Madhurya Rasa. So that is the, hierarchy of sadhanas and results. According to the method we choose, we get different result. So, at least we have to practice pure bhakti. So pure bhakti means we are not pure, but we practice a process which excludes other desires. That is distinct from the worship here, where Gajendra is saying, get me free from this danger. So when we worship Krishna every day or when we chant Hare Krishna, we're not telling Krishna, oh Krishna, please get me free from this danger, please give me money, etc. If we do, this is mixed bhakti. Certainly, the Lord gives the result. He gives the artha, dharma, kama, and moksha. But that's not intense bhakti. It's mixed, dilutes or bhakti. So therefore, the type of bhakti we should perform is that pure bhakti. That is the bhakti which releases the unlimited mercy of the Lord. With that pure bhakti, and then the Lord gives unlimited to the devotee. In this case, Gajendra was practicing mixed bhakti, as we see from his prayer here. But the result he got was very, very wonderful, because he was saved by the Lord and he got to see the Lord. Wonderful result, which is generally not available to other people. Normal people cannot see the Lord, nor does the Lord personally respond and save them from material danger. But we see that happens here. So this is a very, very interesting case. Even though he had mixed bhakti, the Lord responded in a very, very wonderful way. In that sense, we can say he has unlimited mercy because he did something very unexpected. Pure bhakta, sadhaka, okay, he'll do more for him. But he was mixed bhakta. He wasn't pure, he was mixed bhakta, doing sadhana of some sort. Not even regular sadhana, because all of his elephant life he did no bhakti. And then suddenly he chanted these prayers. So he was not even doing regular sadhana. and it was not pure bhakti, it was mixed bhakti. But the Lord personally came and rescued him and showed his form to that. So in that sense, the Lord is willing in some cases to give extraordinary mercy even to persons who practice mixed bhakti. Therefore, a person who practices pure bhakti is even in a higher position of getting the unexpected mercy of the Lord. So we see this is a case of one. Another case, of course, is Dhruva. Dhruva wanted a kingdom, and he was worshipping the Lord to get kingdom. And what happened? The Lord also appeared before him by his extraordinary mercy. Yeah? So sometimes the Lord is willing to give extraordinary mercy to these persons, even though they practice mixed bhakti. We can never limit or predict the nature of the Supreme Lord and how he shows mercy. But the general principle is, according to the type of bhakti, the Lord responds. So, in these two cases, Dhruva and Gajendra, we must understand there must be some special attractive features that made the Lord give extraordinary mercy like that, because it was mixed bhakti also. We can say in case of Dhruva, there was extra mercy in the form of Narada Muni. He'd give mercy to him. direct mercy. In the case of Gajendra, actually in previous lifetime, he was a good devotee of the Supreme Lord. And of course, he got association with great sages then. So it's not that he was an elephant or whatever. He also had a very great background. He wasn't an ordinary person. So, due to some special feature, the Lord is willing to give even those who practice mixed bhakti extraordinary mercy. The Lord is so extraordinary that he will give extraordinary mercy even to the demons. So he gives some demons liberation, which even Ganis strive for birth after birth after birth. And these demons get liberation immediately by when they're killed by the Lord. And even greater than that, some of them go to the spiritual world, like Putana or Agasura. Most astonishing. Even the devatas are astonished. How can the Lord do that? How can he take them to the spiritual world when they're demons? Extraordinary mercy again. However, though the Lord is merciful like that, he also never interferes with this principle. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So, Putana goes to the spiritual world, Agasura goes to the spiritual world, etc. But they do not attain the same position of a person who practices pure bhakti. They never get that. They get something less. The Lord is full of mercy, and at the same time, he's willing to give extraordinary mercy to different persons. But his affection for his pure devotees is more than any other. That's his principle. Yeah. Indirect. This is indirect. She wasn't a mother, so she only a helper. Yeah, so she's indirect. But still, there's a lesser position because. We find, for instance, in the position of the Brahma Mohana Lila, directly, the other mothers also got Krishna as their son, because he became their sons. In any case, we can understand that Putana became a nurse in the spiritual world, but whatever her position is still less than any devotee who practices pure bhakti gets. Much, much less. In other words, the rasa is weaker. must be weaker, because even the mixed bhakta ends up with a lesser result than one who practices pure bhakti. She wasn't even doing mixed bhakti. It was out of hatred. So, but extraordinary mercy of the Lord. So it's there, but kind of a weak form of bhakti there at best. That's for the materialists. Therefore he says, but I am equal to everyone, but I am in my devotee and my devotee is in me. So he is attracted to his devotees. In that sense, he's not equal. That is only fair because his principle is, accordingly to his surrender to me, so if it's all irregular, he shows more mercy to the demons than he does to the devotees, then that makes no sense at all. Or he treats them all indifferently. That also doesn't make any sense. If everybody, I'm neutral to everybody, and the devotee worships me like anything, he doesn't respond, then that's also useless. They can get that, but that depends on the personal mercy of the Lord when Krishna personally appears and kills the demon. If Krishna doesn't appear, that doesn't happen. So you have to wait for the next day of Brahma when Krishna appears. And if it's not Krishna, you don't get liberated. Vishnu does not liberate demons when he kills them. When Nrsimhadev kills Hiranyakasipu, he gets another body as a demon. When Rama kills Ravana, he gets another body as a demon. So you don't get liberated at all. So you have to wait for Krishna's appearance. But then Krishna may liberate you and you just get moksha, that's all. Which is like hell for the devotee. So you can't depend on getting killed by the Lord. You have to get killed by Krishna, and then he has to be extraordinarily merciful. Lord Chaitanya's mercy is that even the unqualified people, by chanting the name of Krishna, can get the highest type of rasa. That's his special benediction. So there's no aspect of killing there at all, getting killed by the Lord or anything. But they have to chant the name of the Lord sincerely. They have to become devotees, in other words. practice pure bhakti. So Lord Chaitanya's mercy is that he wants everyone to practice pure bhakti and chant the holy name. Then what is easy? Practicing life in the material world is easy for them, but then they're subject to birth and death, that's all. They have to be a little bit intelligent and a little bit determined. Generally, they don't serve, they just meditate on the Lord. Yeah, and they're very satisfied with that. And they got their spiritual body, and they're nice, happy there, and meditate on the Lord, and that's it. By the law of karma, if they operate the law of karma, accidentally or whatever, nicely, they get that result. But then again, it's temporary, and then they may have to suffer again in the future. So it's not that they always get what they want in the material world. They may lose it in this lifetime, or next lifetime they may have to suffer double. Either way. Yeah, so that's the conviction. Let them believe that. That means unintelligent. Yeah? An intelligent person will think of the future, not just the present. So if they're in that mode, then very, very difficult to help them. The best thing is, let them hear the holy name and take prasadam. That's all. Finished. And through that, gradually they develop faith. Then they get intelligence.